what I should have done is like set up a camera to look at you. Instead, they get to hear an ethereal. They get to hear an ethereal voice do the introduction to the podcast.
What's up, everyone? Thank you for hopping into the Pause, Run, Play podcast. Obviously, you kind of see a little bit of a different view today. We got two folks in the main camera, and I'm just here as a call-in today. So, just a quick recap. This is Casey behind the mysterious bone voice. And we got Vince. How's it going, man?
Yo!
I was thinking of maybe doing, like, do you guys watch Big Bang Theory when Sheldon's, like, afraid to go outside because they're all the germs, so he creates a version of himself? I should just, like, brought over a vacuum so you could put the iPad on the front of the vacuum so I could pretend it was there you me. Go.
Or, like, in Community when they use the broomsticks with the inmates or whatever, right?
Is oh, yeah, 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 right? Yeah.
Tries to push him down the stairs?
Yeah, exactly. They have, like, the little scooters and stuff. I was actually thinking of something different from Community because of something that Casey said. I was thinking of when spoilers for Community, when Troy is leaving and Ovid, he has to, like, they have to, like, be different versions of themselves. For a second, I thought that was what Casey was saying. He was going to set up, like, a different, like, version of himself here. And I was like, okay, what do you say, man? And I'm Josh. Sorry. I'm here as well.
Yeah. Hi, Josh.
We always
How's
get going too fast. It is going great. I'm doing excellent. And you guys know I'm excited because this is obviously my favorite episode that we do every single year. So I am hyped.
You want to tell the crowd this what it is?
The top
Josh's favorite 10 episode by far.
Top 10 movies of 2022. We each have our list made. We're each going to make each other happy in some ways, mad in other ways. And you guys just get to listen to it all, I guess, and judge us afterwards. So obviously, first things first, we love doing this. And we also love hearing like what your guys' lists are. I even posted on our Instagram story before I came here, like, hey, I want to hear your guys' as well. So please feel free to message us and say, hey, here are some of my favorites. Or after you listen to this episode, say, you know what? I just can't believe that all three of you guys put Black Adam with Dwayne The Rock Johnson as your number one movie of 2022. Ooh. So you'll just have to judge us for that, which, spoiler alert, I hope.
I Look feel like you. I'm being made fun of. They put Morbius up there.
I forgot about that one too.
I was trying to think of a bad one, and it's not like that Black Adam was bad from what I heard, but just I don't think it's going to be a lot of people's number one. So.
No. Also, I think we need to explain to the people why you're not here, Casey.
Oh, yeah. So my wife had a baby last Tuesday, so I'm out of commission.
I like how it's an abrupt stop every time. It's like, ah!
It just stops.
It's like everyone's totally excited because they're like, done, finally. Yeah, so I'm just kind of chilling, maybe hanging home a little bit more to watch this baby grow and support my wife as she recovers. And just to be a dad for a little bit. So I'm in dad mode 1000 is what I'm calling it. Since I have one child and I'm learning how to be a dad and losing sleep over life, but it's a ton of fun and we got a cute baby. So
congratulations. Super cute baby. Yes. That's so cool.
We're so happy. We're so,
so
excited.
Happy for you, man.
I was lucky enough to Thank meet you. The baby and the baby is very cute.
Also, guys, I want to highlight this really quickly. When Josh came to meet said baby of mine, he came from a work event, and he showed up in a suit and tie because first impressions matter. So he really made that. He like was like, boom. Baby is like, this is a man of professional excellence.
Did you walk in and just like shake the baby's hand? Like, welcome to the working world, son.
Even worse, I made an Office reference. The very first thing that this baby ever heard me say was an Office reference from the Which episode one? Where Jim and Pam have their baby. I walked in and I went, I want to meet the baby. So
appropriate.
The baby might hate me forever. I guess we'll see.
He might. He could, but you never know. Yeah, so that's why I'm gone. But I'll be hopefully back around. But I still want to participate in this episode. And if, for instance, I need to stay home a few more times, we're going to have it all set up so I can just keep calling in and being a part of it. But I don't intend to be gone for long because I love getting good with my boys podcasting.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good. Well,
all right, guys. Are we super ready for this? Do you guys just want to dive into the list or do you guys have anything you've been watching, like one movie you've been watching lately that isn't going to be talked about in this that you want to highlight?
I haven't really been watching any movies lately. And I think maybe we want to save discussion on The Last of Us for a possible podcast episode.
Yeah.
Because
I'd be smart.
At the time of this recording, only the first episode is released, and I have just been spending all week trying to figure out who I have to bribe to get the rest before they're actually released. So I think I'll save that information, our thoughts on The Last of Us, another time. Hopefully, at least I would love to do an episode about it, but
I think we can make it happen. Yeah, I just need to talk to the right
something
people.
Like that. I have a couple of things that I wanted to do before we did the list, but did you guys have anything?
No, I don't really have anything I want to bring up because we're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff here in a little bit. But I do want to shout out, I don't know if anybody will ever hear this, but we've been doing a lot more stuff on the YouTube channel. And since we started video, we've gone up like 25 new subs or something like that, which is, for us, really good.
Thank you, sub.
Slowly growing. And there's some of those comments, man, they just crack me up. Like I posted, remember years ago when we did the Batman v Superman post?
Uh-huh.
And that guy commented.
I saw like, that.
Yeah. So I made a little short out of that because it just still cracks me up. And I posted one today about me saying I don't like Shrek. And someone commented on it that was just like, oh, makings of a serial killer right here. So,
I saw you posted the thing that I was hoping you would edit out of the podcast.
It was too funny.
When I said Joseph Gordon-Levitt could be my hourly dog anytime. I will say that one will not be making it over to the Instagram.
I can delete it if you don't like it.
Dang it. No. I okay. think it's funny.
I hope I didn't put something up that you didn't like.
No, please. I would actually let you know if there was something. It was really funny, but I was just like, wait, no, stop.
I think it actually did pretty good, too.
That's the thing. Gotta give the people what they want.
Yeah.
How to give the people what they want.
Oh, man. But yes. So if anyone from YouTube is here listening to this as well,
yeah,
we appreciate you very much. It's definitely new, but Vince has been putting a lot of work into it, and we appreciate it. I know I appreciate it. Casey does as well. And so
definitely.
We appreciate him putting that work and you guys checking us out.
Watching.
So if you guys can keep watching the YouTube and checking out our content, give us that thumbs up. Choose to sub. And keep watching. That's all. That's my plug for right now.
You did the YouTube work. Like and subscribe.
All right.
Like and subscribe, guys. Woo!
Perfect.
Okay, Josh, you lead us on this one.
All right. Top 10's coming up very soon, but I have a few that I always like to do. So I always like to mention my favorite non-22 first-time watches. So like movies I saw that didn't come out this year, but I watched for the first time that I loved. And there were three that I really wanted to point out this year. I finally, my buddy Cade, who was on the last podcast, he's been trying for years and years and years to get me, because I was a drummer and all this stuff, to watch Whiplash, and I just never did.
Oh, nice.
For some reason. It wasn't that I didn't want to, but I was just like, I know it'll be good, but whatever. I finally watched Whiplash, and it was excellent. Definitely one of the top ones. Hereditary, I had never seen. I know we did a whole episode about Midsommar. We love Midsommar, all this stuff. I had never seen it.
Well, really?
Yeah.
You weren't on that episode?
The Hereditary episode?
Hereditary. No, we did Midsommar. I was like, wait, what?
I'd seen Midsommar, but I had not seen Hereditary yet.
Got ya.
And I watched that this year, obviously. And it was incredible. And then Cabin in the Woods. I watched a ton of horror movies this year, and there's so much like B-tier and super mid-horror, but I love it, especially when you're on that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched Cabin in the Woods, and it was definitely one of my favorite ones that I saw. Caught me off guard. So those are my favorite non-22 first-time watches. And then, like I said, I'll keep it like real length for you. My top five favorite TV shows of 2022. Number five is one that kind of flew under a lot of people's radars, The Resort on Peacock. It has Kristen Milioti and William Jackson Harper from How I Met Your Mother and The Good Place, respectively. Number four is The White Lotus Season 2. I finally got into The White Lotus. Severance. I was sad that it was my number three, but Severance is one of my favorite shows of the year. Number two, Better Call Saul Season 6. Wrapped up it all perfectly. And number one, you guys know I love my Stranger Things. Stranger Things Season 4 was my number one.
I forgot that came out this year.
I know you did, Vince. We've argued enough about it already.
I can't believe a Star Wars isn't on there. Did you watch Andor?
I didn't watch Andor, okay, but me. I'm like, I like Star Wars, but I've never been like as much into it as a lot of people.
This one's worth watching even for non-Star Wars fans. So check
and that's
out.
What I've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard it's really good. So I'm excited.
Andor is a 10 out of 10 for me. I would give it 2 thumbs up from my perspective. It's good. And also Severance was my number one series of the year. I just would like to highlight it. We didn't make a list of series, but that would be my number one. I've rewatched it, and then I probably watched close to 20 hours of YouTube content breaking down the show.
Nice.
I'm obsessed.
It's so good. I'm excited. That's definitely one of my favorite Apple TV Plus shows. And then another one, which there wasn't a season release in 2022, but Ted Lasso just announced that season 3, which I'm pretty sure is the final season, is coming out really? In spring of this year.
That surprises me that it's the final season, like with how popular it is. You think they'd keep that running?
And I could be wrong. I could be thinking wrong. But from what I heard, that they just had like the storyline mapped out from the beginning. I think they might just kind of be sticking to it. So
that's cool.
I could be wrong. Like, roast me if I am. But I need to stop pointing at the camera so much. It's just weird, you know, because
they're a part of the show.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Jimmy.
So I'm going to do a lot.
I know.
I'm going to be doing a lot more of this. It's wine in a can. I can. Do a bunch of points. It's a Sunny reference. Moving on.
Okay. I was like, I'm sorry. You know me. I need to do it, but okay. Do we have anything else that we want to get into before?
I just did movies, so I don't have any other tops.
Okay. Perfect. Let's do it. These are our top 10 films of 2022. And we're going to have Casey start us off with his number 10.
With my number 10, right?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I did want to mention, we've done this a million times, but I did want to mention, so obviously, I love using Letterboxd, and Letterboxd made it super easy for me to like make my list this year because I was like, oh, cool. I'll just like kind of rate it by the stars and stuff like that. I did do that. I end up like switching some stuff around. Like I changed some ratings a little bit, but it was more so like, this is going to sound crazy. I like rate them all, and there's some 5, 4.5, 4, and even some 3.5 that are on there. But there's also like a 4 and like a 4.5 that didn't actually end up making my list, just because when I was thinking about the top 10, you know, after the fact, you watch a movie and then you get to the end of the year, what actually stuck with you, what you really liked and stuff like that. So it doesn't go directly if you know, like,
it's hard to go back and look at some of those past movies and look at what you rated them in the moment.
Yeah.
Like there's been a bunch of times where I look at some of these ratings and I'm like, that might be a little high or opposite low. Like, and then I'm like, I'm tempted to like change it, but I'm like, no, don't change it till you watch it again. Movies, then you can change it.
Movies are art. It's all subjective. Right. And so that's what I felt like. I like going on Letterboxd and I like rating the movies, but when I was making my top 10, I was like, I just have to make it my own. So the top 10 might not go exactly by my Letterboxd ratings, but I'm excited for it.
Cool.
And I'm excited to get into it. And now for real this time, I want to hear Casey's number 10.
My number 10 of the year was one that Josh recommended to me or to my wife, and then we watched it shortly after, and it was Emily the Criminal.
Yes. Aubrey Plaza.
Do you know about that one, Vince? Have you watched it?
It's on my to-watch list on Netflix, but I haven't watched it, no.
It's amazing. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a well-thought-out movie. It was something that we all are aware of in society that it happens, because people like have issues with identity theft, right, all the time, and stuff that happens with it. And the way that just it goes about is like something that's a giant pressing issue in the United States like currently and so much, but also it deals with like one criminal, it deals with two like debt of a large proportion and so on and so forth. So yeah, definitely recommend it. I'm not going to get too far into it. I want you to go in there and learn a lot about it because it's so cool. Characters are well developed. Aubrey Plaza's acting is like, but sadly it was not quite up on my list as to be like the number one and beyond. So I figured number 10, it deserved a place on the list this year.
So I've been trying to keep up with the potential Oscar noms. So a couple weeks back, I went and saw The Fabelmans in theaters, and it made my list for number 10. I'm sure most people know what it is. It is Steven Spielberg's kind of biopic. It's a version of his life growing up, kind of told in a way that's not self-aggrandizing. It's about his parents' divorce and how it affected him and how movies played a big role in his life. And it's really interesting, really well cast. The guy who plays Riddler's in it, I can't remember his name right now, but he does a great job as Paul Dano as Steven Spielberg's father. It's interesting, they called it The Fabelmans, but it is about the Spielbergs, which right. I kind of liked. But it's really good. It's not one you have to see in theaters, I don't think, but I don't know, I just appreciate it more. You're more in the moment when you're in the theater to see it, especially these movies that are kind of about making movies, you know?
Yeah. My number 10 was one that I just couldn't leave off the list. It was shrouded in drama and everything like that. But you know that I always love me some Florence Pugh. Don't Worry, Darling.
That made my 10.
List. I love Don't Worry, Darling. Like, don't get me wrong. It's number 10 on my list, right? It's not in the top five or anything like that. And there were definitely a few versions of this list where it was not on the list. But at the end of the day, I thought about what I liked and what I enjoyed doing. And I was like, you know what? I really liked Don't Worry, Darling. It got kind of like weird and kind of creepy. Like, yeah, it kind of did end up being a lot simpler than you thought it would be. But I love kind of those mind-bending like sci-fi movies that happen. And I love Florence Pugh. I thought she was great. Harry Styles was there. I love Olivia Colman. I thought she was great. And even Chris Pine did a really good job. It was a super interesting movie. It obviously had a lot of controversy going on behind the scenes with what was going on. Oh my gosh, holy cow, crazy. But if you take all of that aside and just watch the movie, I always love those mind-bending genre or sci-fi ones. And so Don't Worry, Darling did make my list. I might be one of the only ones in the world, but it is my number 10.
Probably.
Hey, man, I'm down. Florence, that was for you.
All for her.
All right. Let's switch it up. Vince, do you want to do your number 9?
Oh, sure. You want to go back to me? Number 9 is Glass Onion. And I don't have a lot to say because we did an entire podcast on it a couple weeks ago. Go back and listen to that. Just that it's good. I liked it. And it made it above The Fablemans. I don't know if I might switch those two out, right? Like, they're kind of interchangeable. The farther I get out from Glass Onion, the more I kind of forget about it. And Fablemans is kind of sticking with me more. So I that might be my 9 and 10. But Glass Onion in their 9 or 10. One of the two.
My number 9 is Vengeance.
What was that one? Remind me.
So that's the one about the guy who decides to go make a, like, he goes to a funeral of someone he barely knows, poses as their boyfriend, and then finds out there's a deeper story and decides to make a podcast about it. And it's starring, oh crap, he's in The Office. He makes out with Kelly all the time.
That one. I didn't know that was what it was about. BJ Novak, right?
Yep, BJ Novak. Thank you. So yeah, that one is amazing, actually. Thinking about it, I probably would give it higher on the list if I had thought about it a little bit more, but there were so many movies I enjoyed. But this one is like one that I've actually been like, I want to go watch it again. And so for that merit is why I put it up there. Definitely a cool look into the culture of Texas, just kind of the way we look at things. And it's a good case study and character study on people and how we are. So also it introduces Whataburger to a larger audience. Although I'm going to probably upset my Texas friends. I don't think Whataburger is that great.
I thought I was going to be alone right now. Whataburger was overrated.
Here's the thing. I understand that Whataburger is like not really, really that good. But as someone who is from Utah, right, not Texas, like you don't have Whataburger here. Mm-hmm. And so when I've been to Texas like a few times, and when I've gone, I always get Whataburger, right? I went with my dad, and we got Whataburger when we were there for like my senior trip. I went and I visited my friend, and we got Whataburger, and they had these like Dr. Pepper floats and shakes and stuff and these other burgers. And I don't know. I like it. I think it's like a solid fast food chain, but I've also only ever had it like 4 or 5 times. And so maybe it's just that I haven't had it enough.
I've only had it once, but tired. I was just like, this is McDonald's. And they're like, you got to try the spicy ketchup. And I was like, this just tastes like ketchup. But I will say, I do agree 100%. Their shakes are awesome. When I flew back down to visit my little sister, I went out of my way to go get one of their mint shakes again because they were good, good stuff.
There we go. Perfect.
So, see, that's the thing, though. But I will say this, and I'm going to offend all of Texas by saying this. I think White Castle is better than Whataburger.
I haven't had White Castle either.
I haven't had White Castle either. Sorry.
That's fine. I'm just letting all of Texas know. Like, come at me, bros. I will talk to you about it. Like, but I think that White Castle is better than Whataburger. So there it is. But yeah, Vengeance is a great show. Definitely watch it. Put it on your list enjoy it. BJ Novak puts on the performance of his life.
I love that we're going on these random tangents longer than on the actual movies. Hey.
It's not a tangent because we're circling back around to my number 9, which is The Menu. So we're talking about food. We're talking about all this stuff. So my number 9 is The Menu.
Guess what my number 8 is?
Avatar?
The Menu. Starring... The Avatar guy.
The menu. Yes. All right. So let's talk about the menu. My number 9, Vince's number 8. We obviously did a whole podcast about that, so we don't want to go on too long about it. And you can check that out if you want some more detailed information. But the menu was good. Like, it had kind of all of the makings to be this weird, like, drama about all these people going and having their sophisticated food. But you get all of these different, like, looks into these weird little characters. You've got her date, I forget. So you got Anya Taylor-Joy, obviously. And she's not supposed to be there, but she goes and everything's happened.
And Nicholas Holt.
Yes. You've got Ralph Fiennes, or however you say his name. And just all these people that you go into look, and just the night goes away that you don't expect. And it's so interesting, and it's also funny, right? They've got the little names of the menus that we talked about. You got Tyler's bullshit and whatnot. Tyler's bull and whatnot. And just, wow. So much of it that I loved, so... The menu.
Ready for my tangent on the menu?
We already did a food tangent, Vince.
I saw an article today that was just like, I tried the basic cheeseburger from the menu, and I will never eat another hamburger again because it was that good.
What the
so,
what?
So apparently the way that they cooked that burger, they had the recipe on that article. I'll have to look it up and send it to you because they had some pictures of it too, and it looked freaking amazing. Loved the menu. Loved dissecting it with you guys. It was a lot of fun to like look into the deeper meaning and like the reflection on content culture and what it means to appreciate art. It was really good, and the food was amazing. It looked amazing, and I learned something about the two of you that I will never forgive you for, and that's that you guys don't like s'mores.
S'mores are a trash dessert.
I think that's ridiculous. I think s'mores are delicious, and I will debate that till the end of time.
I do want to highlight the situation in which s'mores are good, and it isn't a milkshake. Dairy Queen did a milkshake. Sorry, you brought up milkshakes, and
that sounds good.
Dairy Queen did a s'mores milkshake this past year, and it was like good. So there you go.
Very nice.
Okay, so my number 8 was the Banshees of
I don't know. I don't even want to attempt an Irish accent to say it.
I can't pretend. But no, it was so good, and it was uniquely done. It was beautifully shot. The storyline was epic. It's actually portraying kind of the division between the Irish Civil War that happened around the time it was filmed. Actually, what was really cool is when my wife and I were watching this, she didn't know if it was filmed in like 2022, like set in 2022, or set in a different time period completely. But she's like, maybe people in Ireland still like are this casual, dressed this way, kind of like are this way. And it was actually a really good thought, because the film, if you didn't know any context about it, I think it could have still been in a way it posed in that timeline. It was beautifully done. And I really like the performances of Colin Farrell. I really like the performance of Professor Moody. I forget that guy's name. The father of Hux, General Hux from Star Wars. That's who that is. But it's such a good film, and the acting was good. And I love the word feck. I'm going to start using feck from now on.
I've started too.
What's your feckin' problem?
Oh,
like so. Yeah, so obviously they're, you know, in like Ireland, and so they've got all these, you know, I love the accents already. It's in the movie. But yeah, they say feckin' a lot. Like,
feck.
Ah, go feckin' over there. Like, I can't even remember like a line, but I've started saying it too. I think it might have been because I watched it, and also because I heard Casey say it once, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Does that mean we need to use the swear button every time you do that?
I don't know.
Yes, every time I go feck. I don't know. But, yeah, it was really cool, and I liked also the side characters also had depth to them as well. That's just a comment I had. Like the barman, the sister, like so many people. It was just all different.
That one's a front runner for the Oscars, so you're getting ahead of things there, Casey.
For a lot of stuff.
It deserves it.
It's all right. Different. All right. I'm going to do my number 8 and my number 7 because I feel like I've been like going last every time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to turn it around. And I've got a couple of A24 movies that are going to be my number 8 and my number 7. My number 8 movie was one that I just saw recently. It came out in the summer of last year, and I did not expect to actually enjoy it as much as I did. My number 8 is Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. And here's the thing. I did not think I was going to like this one. What I did basically was I got Showtime. They do like a free trial. I got Showtime because they have a deal with A24 to put a lot of their movies up there, so I could see a lot of the ones I didn't see. I already watched like Everything Everywhere All at Once. I saw X, which is a horror movie from A24. Sadly, did not make my list. It was kind of right on the edge there. X did not make it. I thought Pearl was on there. Pearl is like a prequel to X, which they like released in the same year, which
they
I thought was
it,
super cool.
They shot it back to back with the original movie. I know all about these movies. I've never seen either of them.
I know.
The story of it is cool.
I thought Pearl was on there because I wanted to see it too. I didn't actually end up seeing it. So
I
who
heard
knows?
Pearl's better too.
That's what I heard as well. And so I was excited, but I never ended up watching Pearl. But yes, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies was a surprising one. It's basically like a whodunit like mystery thing, except for if it was like super, super like Gen Z and like millennial, right? And on,
it's got Pete
honestly,
Davidson, so like
it's got Pete
that
Davidson,
says it all right there.
Exactly, right? And here's the thing. It's almost like, and this is for me, right? Obviously, like I'm in that group of, you know, individuals, Gen Z, millennial, whatever. I don't know, like the exact years and stuff like that, right? And it can be that to a fault at times, right? Like it's so far that way. Who's someone who's even in it? I'm like, oh my gosh, like they're going so far out of the way to like make it like this and stuff like that. But it's really funny. It's really witty. And I liked it. I liked the movie all the way. And then especially as you got to the end, and obviously I'm not going to get too deep into it. I was just like, whoa, this is actually like crazier than I thought. Like so much is going on. So much has happened. And I just can't say anything other than I think that it's a solid watch. If you're going to get, Showtime, which, like I said, you can do like a 30-day free trial. I definitely think that that's one of the movies that you should check out. It's the number 8 on my list. And number 7 on my list, this one is a technical one for me because most places that you look, you'll see that this is listed as 2021. It had an extremely limited release, I think of like a week in just Los Angeles and New York in 2021, and then nowhere in theaters until summer of 2022. My number 7 is Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
Nice.
The cutest little stop-motion animated shell, his grandma, and the story about him talking with the owner of this, not the owner, the person who's staying in this Airbnb where he lives, and just going through what happened, how he got there. He's trying to find his family, what goes on with them. It's so cute. Jenny Slate, obviously, this was from a clip that they did back forever ago, her and her husband, right? And so they obviously expanded it and made it into a full-length feature film. It is so cute. It got a release, and a lot of people went and saw it, and it's cute, and it can be, like, a family movie, but it's just so much more than that. Like, there was never a version of my list. Like, I know that we're only, like, number 7, but there was never a version of my list where I didn't have Marcel the Shell with Shoes on there. And it's definitely one that I think that everyone should see because I feel like a lot of people haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to recommend Bodies, Bodies, Bodies to everyone because a lot of people aren't into the whole Gen Z thing, and a lot of people aren't into something that might get, like, that graphic. Obviously, it's, like, a slasher, like, whodunit, and they're in this house in a hurricane, but Marcel the Shell with Shoes On is one that I think everyone should watch.
Awesome.
Casey.
I will check it out.
You better. And I want to hear your number 7.
Prey.
Prey. Ooh,
glad it Let's made it go. On somebody's list.
Yeah. I thought Prey was amazing. I thought it was a lot of fun and kind of the cleverness of the whole thing. There are different types of predators going around. Also, I love that the story was kind of like set back in a different time where like, you're talking about sticks and stones type thing pretty much versus the predator and all their tools. And I love just the coloration of the film as well, the deep saturations of a lot of the colorway and whatnot. So yeah,
that's
good.
Cool.
The characters were great.
Bright neon blood of the predator.
That bright green.
Yeah, that was pretty rad. I give it that for sure. That was like that 2000s, that bright green was like that 2000s Teen Kid green is what that was pretty much.
Predator did it before it was cool.
Yeah, Predator was the original hipster. But yeah, Prey was my number 7.
Okay, my number 7 is the fourth or the fifth Scream in the Scream franchise? It's Scream.
It's the fifth.
I liked Scream. I really love what they do with these movies. And coincidentally enough, they just released a Scream 6 then? Is that the next one?
Yeah, there's just a trailer. It's coming out soon.
It's coming out soon that puts the Scream franchise in New York that I'm interested to see what they do with it. Because the fun thing about the Scream movies is, I mean, it's a slasher, which is fun, but the fun part for me is how they dissect, and for everyone, I'm sure. I mean, that's what these movies are all about, is they dissect a film genre, the original being the basic horror movie. This one dissects the, what do they call them? The sequel legacy sequels, I think is what they call them, which is like the sequel to a franchise that was popular 20 years ago and bringing back the original characters to play a role in these new movies. And we've been doing that for a long time now, ever since like The Force Awakens came out, and it's getting a little exhausting, and we've seen it done so many times, and it was so nice that the Scream franchise walked in and they'd pointed out all the dumb tropes that we've seen in every one of these legacy sequel movies, to the point where every time I watch one that has it going on, I know kind of exactly what to look for. Like, oh, they're going to bring back the legacy character. Oh, they're going to bring back a smaller role legacy character just to kill off so that they make us feel good, because they can't kill off the popular legacy characters, or we'll have less Last Jedi situation, you know? So anyway, it just goes through and it points out all of these tropes in classic Scream fashion. It's a thriller, slasher movie, so it has some fun gory kills in it. It's got some kind of creepy scene. It's got Jenna Ortega doing her thing, killing it, literally. Actually, I don't know if she kills anything in it, but it's just fun. It's really good. The Scream franchise is one that has really grown on me over the years. I wasn't really a horror guy when the original one came out, so I had to play catch up over these last few years.
You're gonna make fun of me for this, so I'm just gonna own it. I chose Thor Love and Thunder.
I'm not going to make fun of you. I like the movie.
I'm not going to make fun of you.
We're the only two in the world that liked it, I think, Casey.
I'm not going to make fun of you because I still haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
I know.
Gosh.
I know.
Thor Love and Thunder, though, I thought it was a hoot and a half of a film. I thought it, a lot of people hate it because they're like, oh, dumb, like, it's kind of like Dumb Dumb Thor, right? We've talked about this before, right? Dumb Dumb Thor is a hoot. And plus, like, it's a journey and it's just kind of going along and doing stuff. But it's also highlighting that, like, the change that goes on within one and the trauma that can inflict and how it changes your personality and persona. That's totally fine if you don't like it. If it's not your thing, like, sucks to suck, right? Like, but I'm here to say that I enjoyed it, and it made it on my top 10 films for 2022. And I also really enjoyed Taika Waititi as a director, but also as a, oh crap, the rock man. I forgot his name, where he's just a face for half the movie.
Korg. Oh, yeah, yep. You got it.
That's it.
It's fun. I rewatched it on Disney Plus a few weeks back, and the way that they play, they're like as if he's in a relationship with the axe, and the hammer is like his ex girlfriend. It gets me every time. Yeah. It, like those small moments of humor, it just makes the movie worth it to me. Even though I understand why people hate it as a part of the MCU, you know, it's a little ridiculous. It's a little out there. It's a little hard to believe that it's actually a part of the MCU because they push things so far into the like ridiculous, but it was funny.
All right. Number six. I'll go ahead with my number six. My number six was, I think, here, let me pull it up really quick. It kind of depends how you define. Maybe not the highest rated horror, but it's definitely up there. Because some of my other ones are like horror or thriller-ish that are above this. My number six is Barbarian.
We are just right.
Let's go.
Like syncing together with freaking the menu being almost the same. And Barbarian is also my number six.
Number six, yes. I'm down. Let's go. Yes. Casey, have you seen Barbarian?
I haven't. I was going to ask you what it is. I haven't seen it. I'm actually typing it in as what to watch.
No, we're not going to tell you what it is.
That's the best part, right? Mm-hmm. And so we'll keep it really short because if Casey had seen it, I'd be kind of willing to go into it a little bit like that. The best thing about Barbarian is I went in, and this was by recommendation of Vince, I went in just blind, not knowing what was going on. I barely knew like what was happening. I had seen like a super short trailer or something like that. And Barbarian is just this crazy, takes you off guard horror movie that has, it's funny still, has like surprising heart at moments and stuff like that, right? Just it's one of the best horror movies that came out last year. Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. That's the best way to describe it. So
I'd agree.
And it's on HBO Max, which I know that you have now.
It's fun though, man. Like it was impossible for me to guess what was around the corner. And it is eerie and it works. Like the tension is there. The way that it builds up tension, you feel like it's this generic horror movie, but the that it builds up the tension really well. You think you know where it's going, and then it pulls the rug out from under you.
Definitely.
Maybe that's a spoiler just by saying that there's like that moment that like tricks like that you don't expect, but that's
more like, I don't think it spoils it. It more is like, once you get there, you'll realize it, but it's not like a spoiler.
Yeah, yeah. So check that one out. Barbarian is also my number six, so it's great. It's a lot of fun.
Did we do Casey's number six?
Did we do number six?
What was your
I'm trying to count. Thor, Love, and Thunder was my number six.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay. All right.
So I'll go this time since we kind of shared Barbarian.
Top five. Let's go.
I had a really easy time with my list up until the top three. Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
But number five, The Northman. We all went and saw this movie together. You forgot about The Northman?
No, I took it off my list just barely.
Oh.
I took it off my list just barely because I was like, was it that good? But I've watched it twice at home. Like, I should have kept it on there because I've watched it twice at home. I literally use it as my reference for all my, like, all the time. Like, I'm like, oh, let's look at this DVD when I'm helping people create SEO. And I'm like, Fudge, why did I do it? I regret everything. But go, sorry, man.
I love
The Northman. Also is not on my list.
Oh, I thought it was
one
so
of the
good.
Ones kind of there, but
I need to. I haven't watched it again since theater, but it's artsy, but it's action packed. It's primal. It's a man's movie. That's the best way to describe it. One of my friends, she hated it and does not understand why I like it. And I think that's what it is. I think it's made for a very specific audience, and it's the audience of just like, holy crap, look at this giant muscle-packed, I don't remember the actor's name. I was going to drop his name, but I spaced
Stellan
it.
Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah, yeah. What's his first name?
Stellan.
Is it Stellan Skarsgård?
That guy. That guy got jacked and just plays this primal Viking, and does such a good job at it, man. So good. So does Anya Taylor-Joy. She's in it too. Does fantastic.
What a year for her, by the way, right? You got The Menu. Yeah. You got The Northman.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's Alexander Skarsgård.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Is it Stellan the dad?
Yeah, Stellan's the dad.
Okay.
The one from Dune.
Chernobyl. What I think of him from.
He's from Dune too, right? Yeah. And he's in Andor.
Yeah. He's in a lot.
The Skarsgårds, man. They're awesome.
Forgetting Bill Skarsgård was in Barbarian. We didn't mention him, but
the Skarsgårds are everywhere.
Everywhere.
Also has Willem Dafoe in it, who in just a kind of a side role, just kind of stole the show with every scene he was in as like crazy witch doctor type. I can't remember. It's been a lot of times since I've seen it. But
oh, but yeah.
I don't know. I really like that director. His movies are not for everyone, like The Lighthouse, not for everyone, but very different and very interesting. And this was his movie with a budget, you know? He was able to put a ton of money into these special effects, into these set pieces. Looks beautiful. I think it was shot in Iceland, but I'd have to double check on that. I don't remember exactly
what it was. It was shot on location, so... Robert Eggers is the director of this, and his movies, he requires them to be on location. So like a lot of these things, he's very much similar to, who's the guy you love a lot, Josh, who recreates atomic bombs?
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, so he's not like Christopher Nolan in the fact that he likes things to be rugged and hard. Practical. And so, yeah, they were experiencing these hardships and challenges. My number five is Good Luck to You, Leo Grand. Did either of you guys watch that one?
I didn't watch it. I saw the...
What is it? I haven't heard of it.
All right. So Good Luck to You, Leo Grand is probably one of the finer movies that I've ever watched, all about aging and kind of like life as it is. It stars... sorry. I forgot her name all of a sudden. But it stars Emma Thompson. As kind of like an aging woman who's like lost her husband, and she's trying to like kind of discover pleasure in the form of like sex. And so she hires a sex worker, and he comes to the room, like they meet at a hotel and they have a discussion. It's not what you'd expect. You're not like when you think about that, right? I'm like, oh, she hires a sex worker and they meet at a hotel room. You're like, they're just gonna head out, right? And that's not the thing at all that happens. Like there's the discussion, dialogue, there's like embracing of fears, understanding what people enjoy, like what do you like, what do you wish you'd done in life, what do you wish you hadn't done, what is freeing to you. It's actually a very interesting film. And obviously there is like very like NSFW conversation that happens. You also do see a little bit of nudity, right? But it's not like distasteful and gross, right? It does show like Emma Thompson actually goes like full nude for it. And it's like not ugly, distasteful, or like nasty. It's just kind of like the expression showing like, this is what aging is. This is beauty. Find beauty in yourself at whatever age you're in. And I really enjoyed it. I might be missing the point of some of it, right? Because I think that it was written, but it's very cool to see her character as like somebody who's aging and kind of like feels disappointed in their life. But also this young man who's Leo Grand, and his character is played by Daryl McCormack. And he's actually a very fascinating character as well. He's created this persona. He's interested in people. He asks questions. Like he's very good at just kind of like portraying conversation. It's very uniquely done. I would say if you want to watch it, I would say watch it because it's good. But because of kind of what it is, people are kind of shying away from it, if that makes sense.
Interesting. I'll check it out.
I definitely saw the trailers for it. I never checked it out. Is it streaming right now?
Yeah, it is on streaming. I think it's on Hulu, if I remember right.
Awesome. Good to know.
I watched half of it on an airplane, and there was like a woman and her child sitting next to me, so I had to like adjust it because there were parts that were like, oh yeah, I would hate for my child to see this on a plane, or my parents would have been very irked if I had seen this on a plane. So I just adjusted it and watched it on my laptop, like here and there. So it was actually really cool. I watched it over 3 times, and it was worth it. It kept me entertained the whole time.
Awesome. Very good. Okay, my number five. Emily the Criminal.
Oh, wow.
Really? Yeah. For
both. Yeah.
It's that good.
I loved it. I love Emily the Criminal. You know that I'm like, I hesitate because it's kind of got a negative connotation to use the word simp, but I am a simp for Aubrey Plaza. All the way. I know that's going up on YouTube. I'm just looking at it now. I'm a simp for Aubrey Plaza. And this movie is incredible. Not only just because she's in it and she leads it and she does everything with it. It definitely takes, like, you dive into this, like, criminal world and how someone can possibly get into, like, the criminal world and what goes on with it. And it just gets so crazy. And it makes you think about these things, right? Because it's not just, like, oh, yeah, they're criminals. They do criminal. Like, it gets into their characters and what they're doing. There's romance involved. There's all of this stuff going on. And I'll just say it again. At the head is Aubrey Plaza leading the way, and she does incredible. Obviously, it's not even being talked about. Like, no one's expecting, like, any kind of, like, acting nomination or nothing like that, right? But if I were the person who got to choose, Aubrey Plaza would get an acting nomination for her role in Emily the Criminal because wow. She did an incredible job. And that is me, obviously.
Joshua, it would be hard because you'd be simping.
I know, exactly, right?
So they would veto your recommendation, but I agree with you. Simping ain't easy, and that's what simping's for.
I loved Emily the Criminal. That's why it was my number five. Right. I honestly was even like kind of sad. There's just too many good movies that I couldn't put it any higher than number five. I wanted to, though. I really like pushed it up the list kind of as far as like I maybe shouldn't have put it above Barbarian, but that was like where I was like, yeah, like, come on. I pushed it up there.
Interesting.
And here's the thing, I feel bad. Like, I don't want to, like, overhype it. And you watch it, and you're like, oh, that's pretty good. Like, it's definitely, like, a good movie, right? You're not going to watch it and be like, that was trash. But I just don't want you to be like, oh, okay. Like,
this is not top five of the year.
This is not. It doesn't have to be top five. It just has to be top 15, Vince. It doesn't have to make your list.
Cool.
Okay. We're on to number four for everyone. I'll do my number four really quick because it's also one that has been mentioned by Casey. My number four is The Banshees of Inisherin. The Banshees of Inisherin has my heart. Oh, my goodness. I love everything about it. It is, at its core, The Banshees of Inisherin. It is what do you call that? Not an analogy. Sorry. I can't think of the word. What did he call it?
About a betrayal or a description?
A betrayal or a description. It's, oh no, it's like an
allegory.
Yes, it's an allegory about our Civil War, right? And that's like what it is, its death. But also, when you look at the story at like face value for what's going on, it is the story of, and this is on like all of the commercials and stuff, it's what the movie's about, so this isn't really a spoiler. It's a movie about two friends, right? Colin Farrell and Mad-Eyed Moody, who I apologize. We got, like, I gotta look up his name now.
Hold on, I'm pulling it up right now really quick. I'm embarrassed.
They're these two friends, and they're like thick as thieves, right? These two guys, they're in their like, you know, Colin Farrell is like, I don't know, like, I don't know how old he actually is, but in this he looks like he's like 45 or something. This other guy's like 55 or 60, and the other guy, not Colin Farrell, just decides that.
Brendan Gleeson.
Yes. Oh, because I've seen his name like everywhere with stuff that's going on. He just decides that he doesn't want to be friends anymore, right? And so it's the story of their friendship, you know, falling apart, what happens, why it happens, what Colin Farrell does when he's trying to get it back. But like Casey said, there's so many different characters in it where even though it's only small bits, they dive into it and you get these beautiful looks at these different characters. My personal favorite is, gosh, I really should have prepared better for this. Sorry. I have to, because
which one is it?
It's, the boy who's always like the annoying kid? Them and stuff. Yeah. It's
Barry Keoghan.
Barry Keoghan, oh, yeah. Right? His name in it is Dominic. Yep. And so Colin Farrell, he lives with his sister, right? And they go into a lot about her and stuff, and she's really into reading, but she's stuck on this, they live on this like island in Ireland, right? And so all this stuff happens, and Dominic, who is Barry Keoghan, is also in it as well. And he's a side character, but he gives the most beautiful and also like heartbreaking performance. It's crazy just for being like a side actor in there that has so much to do with the movie, but also at the same time not. There were a few lines that he said, and he's kind of this, like, his character is fairly dumb. Like, to be super blunt about it, his character is really not that intelligent. There were a few things that he said that just makes you think about, like, it doesn't matter how dumb or all of these different things, like, someone could possibly be. Like, we're all human on the inside, and stuff like that happens, and he says something that's so blunt that I just literally, like, it took me a second till I kind of realized what he said. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like that hurts. Like, oh my goodness. It's crazy. Like, I don't want to like go too far and like spoil too much, but just this movie was incredible and it made me feel so many things. I literally bawled at a couple of different parts of the movie. Like, I can get emotional. I understand that. But there were some points of this movie where I just felt so many things, and I understand it's not like, I think it's one that you'd actually like. I don't think it's one like Drive My Car where I'm like, oh, it was emotional and Vince is like 3 hours of snooze fest. I think you would like this one. It's really interesting, doesn't play out how you might think it would. Super deep character study. The Banshees of Inisherin, my top four.
Do you want to know a quick random fact about that?
Please.
All the actors are Irish actors. So it's actually an Irish movie, like full on. So that's pretty rad, I thought. That's my random fact about it. Also, that is the most beautiful freaking location. I want to move to Ireland, this island, and live there.
Well, that's something I did mention. The cinematography in it is gorgeous because you have these sprawling hills and landscapes and shots of the ocean and all this stuff. And it's just the way they frame it all and how it looks is it's beautiful too. To go along with this incredible heartfelt story.
I'm going to volunteer myself to go next because this one kind of goes along with what you guys are talking about with being a work of art and incredible cinematography.
I'm sorry.
You already know my bit.
I did see it. Sorry.
My number four is Jackass Forever. It's a technical marvel. It's shot on location.
It is. Yeah, that's true.
I know Jackass Forever is a Jackass movie and it's just a bunch of dummies like beating each other up, but I had the most fun I've had in a theater watching that movie in so long. I can't remember laughing as hard or as much as I did watching Jackass Forever with my cousin and one of my good friends growing up. We were in San Francisco it was me and one of my cousins and my buddy Kent, and we jumped on a plane and we all flew out to visit my cousin Andy in San Francisco. And we went and saw the Uncharted movie, and boy was I let down. And the next night we had nothing to do, so we're like, hey, let's go see Jackass Forever. That'll be fun. And from the moment that movie opens, this is... NSFW or whatever, They dress up one of the guy's penises as a Godzilla and make a small to scale to his penis city for him to go around and destroy. Oh my God. And I had heard about this going in, so we were kind of like, do we really want to see that? Oh my gosh, I laughed so hard. And from that moment on, like, just that broke this, like, broke something in me where the next 2 hours or hour and a half or however long that movie was, I just laughed so hard at everything they did from then on out. It's just, it's dirty, it's ridiculous, it's painful to watch sometimes, but it was so, so, so funny. I don't recommend it to everyone.
So, but man, did Josh, I have fun. Did you grow up watching the Jackass films at all?
Casey, you know who my mom is, right?
Well, did you sneak down the street and watch them is what I'm asking.
No, whenever I snuck down the street, I had to use my time wisely. I watched football. No, I have seen since then, you know, a decent, I've seen like two or three Jackass movies, I'm pretty sure. Mm. But no, I definitely did not grow up on the Jackass movies.
So I grew up on them, just like Vince probably did. They're of our era, I think, more so than anything else. And I'm so behind, and I felt really out of it. However, my favorite characters aren't in this film. So like Bam Margera is not in it. Ryan Dunn, ever since he died, he was like my favorite with those films as well. And so it's kind of like it slowed me down a little bit, but I don't know. Do you know these guys? Was there an appearance, Vince, by the Dude Sons? Did they come, the Finnish guys?
No, I don't think so. They had a couple of younger generation guys. Kind of, it felt like kind of a passing of the torch in the movie to these other guys, but they were kind of the worst part of the movie. I mean, they were fine. They were doing all the stunts, but like you're there to hang out with the guys from the mid-2000s TV show. So that was that when it came out, or was it the 90s? Whenever it came out.
It was
out.
The 2000s, those 2000s, early 2000s.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're there to hang out with Steve-O and Johnny Knoxville, and I wish Bam Margera was there, and like you said, Ryan Dunn, and all those guys, but what is it, Ryan Dunn? Was he the one who died? Is that who you said?
Yeah, Ryan Dunn died.
I can't remember the dude's name. There's another one that's there. I always forget his name, but he's cracking me up too. It's really good, man. I mean, if you like the Jackass movies, it's just like, it's very nostalgia-filled. It's like sitting down on a Saturday afternoon and watching MTV for 2 hours, you know, just, I mean, we spent how much of our lives recreating these stupid stunts that these guys did. We broke my buddy's collarbone trying to be the Jackass guys when we were kids. The buddy that went out with Kent, who went out to us with us to San Francisco, we broke his collarbone trying to act like these Jackass guys. Like, it's a part of our childhood. So it had to be seen, and it did not disappoint.
Right. Oh, man. I'm excited. It's actually on my list to watch, like, one of these nights when baby can't sleep.
I would watch it again with you. It's funner to watch in a group. It's more fun to watch in a group of people. Like, watching it by yourself would be fun, but having a group of people there to enjoy it with, it makes it all the better.
Maybe we'll have to get together one of these days and just watch it. I don't know. Maybe when you come meet baby, we'll just watch Forever with the baby.
Perfect.
Put some little headphones on. Make sure he doesn't hear anything he shouldn't. Put some blinders on, make sure it doesn't see anything. So no, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. But that's cool. I'll have to watch it. Is it my turn? Can I talk about my
number four?
Ray and Raymond.
I have not heard half the movies you're bringing up.
I don't think so.
Bro. I figured my list would surprise you this year because I watched different movies this year, actually. That's awesome. I feel like I watched less action films and more variety of films. But Ray and Raymond is it's on Apple TV, but it stars
Raymond and Ray.
You guys say it backwards.
It doesn't matter. It's two names. I mean, I don't want to say that.
No, it's totally fine. But I think it's Ray and Raymond or Raymond and Ray. I can't Raymond remember. But it's got Ewan McGregor and who's the guy? I forget from Black Phone.
It's just showing me the producers. I don't want to see the producers. Oh, show me the cast. Ethan Hawke?
Ethan Hawke, thank you. So these guys are set up as two brothers who's their father named them the exact same. Raymond is both their names. So one goes by Ray, one goes by Raymond, and they each have had different life experiences. And it kind of goes, it's kind of like a dark comedy, very similar to the Banshees film, where you're kind of like, this is a black comedy. There's funny stuff. But there's one part where they, so I'm going to give some spoilers here. I apologize to anyone about this, but they're in their father's will, they're asked to bury him. Like, he wants them to dig the hole in which they're buried. He's buried. And so what happens, so one of the brothers brings a gun to the funeral, and like, they're doing their kind of last rites thing, looking at the dad pulling out the open casket, and he pulls out a gun and like shoots the dead dad like 10 times. And then like, that's part of the movie. And it's funny, dark, and it shows off trauma. It shows off like missed dreams. It shows off so many things. So yeah, definitely check out that movie, Raymond and Ray, and you'll enjoy it. It's weird. It's quirky, but it definitely is unique.
What a mixed bag. Cool. For our number four, we got The Banshees of Inisherin, Raymond and Ray, Jackass Forever. I can only imagine what happens in our top three. All right, I'll start off the top three because this is the last one that I think might be surprising for my three, at least. Like, if you've paid attention to anything I've said on the podcast or on anything, I'm pretty sure you guys can probably guess my last two. What order are they in, though? But my number three is one that might be a little bit surprising. One that Vince earlier said he was surprised that it made anyone's list. Prey.
Sorry.
Wait, what?
I was going to say Black Adam?
Avatar The Way of Water.
That's awesome. Prey's your number three.
Prey. Oh my gosh. You guys remember, we did a whole episode about Prey. It was kind of one, like, we came back because we'd been gone for a while. We watched Prey. It came out on Hulu. We watched it. I remember watching this and, you know, like, because we did Predators, like, a while ago, right? We did Predators, and I was very much noob to the Predators franchise and everything that went along with it. And I liked Predators. It was good. There was a lot of good stuff going on with it. We watched Prey, and I was all in on, like, everything Predators. Like, everything that was happening, the story of these two siblings, and especially the main character, her and her dog, and the Predator going out doing all of this stuff, like, it's going to be spoiler heavy here, so sorry. But when the Predator goes and he fights the bear and he cuts it and he pushes it over his head and you just see, because he's invisible, right? But you just see the blood flowing over the outline of him when she cuts him and it has that neon green stuff on it. When she outsmarts him at the end, in the very end. Prey was, oh my gosh, I loved Prey. And like, we already talked about this when we did it, but I know I loved it like a lot more than a lot of people. But when I like looked at my finished list and Prey was up there, I was like, am I crazy? I was like,
that's so cool.
Nah, man. Like, I was into it. I loved Prey. I loved everything that they did with it. Like, there was nothing that I was like, oh yeah, like all this like deeper stuff. I'm not like saying that there's like all this deeper, no, just Prey was just gory. It was down to earth. It was a original, like, scaled back like Predator and stuff like that, just so you saw like a more raw, we said primal all the time, right, when we were talking about it.
Feral Predator, right, is what that guy was called or something like that, I
exactly
think.
So just wow. Prey was my number three movie of the
that's
year
so
and
cool.
I never would have thought that a couple years ago.
I'm so proud of you, Josh. I just want to let you know, like, pride is exuding from my body.
I love it too. I love that IP. Like we talked about, like, I don't know why, because I'm not like super into half the movies, but I love the Predator as a character, and it's good. It was a good movie. I just wish they put a little more money and time into it.
I understand. Like,
they could have touched it up a little bit more and made it
and they're still doing experience. They have more that are coming out on Hulu? Question mark.
I don't know.
I know they've been talking about it. I don't remember if that's still in the works.
I just love that this has done the job that the last Predator movie could not do, which was bring in a larger audience into the Predator franchise, because it deserves it. It really does.
Truly.
It's such a cool.
Vince, have you ever heard of balling on a budget? That's what they did in this film.
Yeah,
they were
did.
Balling on a budget.
They really did. Maybe I should have put that in place of Glass Onion. The more I think about Glass Onion, the more I think maybe it shouldn't even make my list.
Here's the thing. It's got, I'm not saying that as time goes, you let it go, but there's definitely always like that recency stuff, right? Yeah. That kind of can affect things.
I think that
things,
might be going on here for me.
Which, I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty sure that as we come up on some stuff, there will be some questions raised that recency bias and what goes on with it might come into it. But we'll just let it happen.
Okay.
Who's doing their number three next?
We're already in top three. This is where it got hard for me.
Right, you mentioned
these
that.
These three movies that I have, when I first wrote them down, I was just like, I don't
tied
know.
Tied for first, all
I
of them.
I don't know how to order this. And then I had to sit down and think to myself, if I could only watch one of these movies again and the other two could not exist, which one would I which one would I choose? And that's how I ended up doing it. So I was like, oh, okay, this one, I would rather have this one than the other two exist. And then I narrowed it down to 2 and 3. So my number 3, I talked about it forever ago. I said it could reach my number 1 movie. It almost did. Jordan Peele's Nope was such a fun experience. It was such, I always explain movies as fun.
I had to. Keep it going.
It's so good. Jordan Peele's Nope is just like, there's a scene from that movie that impacted me in a way that, like, it's a tense scene that impacted me in a way that I haven't been impacted since Jurassic Park's T-Rex scene. And it's very similar to the T-Rex scene. I think that's why it impacted me so much, because it, like, touched this part of my childhood that scared me to death, and they did their own kind of version of it. It introduced me to, what's her name?
Kiki Palmer?
I whiffed that one. It introduced me to Kiki Palmer. I had no idea who she was until I saw this one. I thought she was fantastic. She kind of stole the show for me. She's so funny and entertaining, and I want to see her in more stuff. The entire cast of the movie was great. The direction that the movie goes, it surprised me. And it did it in a way that was really interesting. And in classic Jordan Peele fashion, it's got so many layers to this movie. Maybe too many layers, where some of the stuff that he introduces isn't fully thought out or explained, but it kind of like has all these themes, and you can go in, you can dissect all these things. We did a podcast on it, so people can go back and listen to it, but it was great. I really liked it. It's my second favorite of his 3 movies. So Get Out, Nope, and Us would be my order. I loved Nope, number 3.
Vince, have you ever thought that Nope is very similar to like an onion or like an ogre having layers?
Oh my gosh, we can't do this again. We can't. Casey, you're number 3. It's time.
You ready for my number 3? My number 3 was Where the Crawdads Sing.
Wow.
The book or the movie? I'm just kidding.
I haven't read the book. I've only watched the movie. I thought the movie was fantastic. Coming at it, I knew it was a book. I knew people loved it. And I went in with that. I didn't watch any previews. I just knew it sounded interesting from what people had said from the book. And I liked the story. I loved hearing about the swamp and kind of the place that this girl grows up and kind of her story and her telling it, right? And I thought the cinematography was beautiful. I thought the dialogue was wonderful. And I thought that, like, kind of the way we portray and treat outsiders is very well put on display here in this movie. So, yeah, that was my number 3, was Where the Crawdads Sing. Also, I really want to go to the swamp now and ride a canoe or a boat through it. That's what I want.
The swamp.
Where does that movie take place? Is it in, like, Louisiana or something?
I think it's in South Carolina or Louisiana, one of the two.
I just want to go there and eat. Yeah. Food down there.
You guys could go together, go through the swamp. Casey will be happy, and Vince will be like, okay, but where's the restaurant? And then you guys can go eat.
Where's that Cajun food? I don't know if that's in that movie, but when I think of the South, I think of barbecue and Cajun food, depending on what part of the South, right?
So good. So good, so good. So
yeah,
good.
So
I know that. So did you see the
North Carolina? No, the marshlands in North Carolina.
Oh, then it's barbecue. We gotta go there to eat some barbecue.
Perfect.
Dude, I didn't either. Done. I'm there with you.
I know that Cade did, and he said that he liked it. So it's always like, it keeps popping up on, I think it's on Netflix. And I keep meaning to see it, but I haven't. But number 3 of the year for Casey, so I definitely got to check it out. Number 2.
Oh, are we on 2? What was your 3?
Oh, my 3 was Prey.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Prey was my number 3. Da-doy. My number 2. Nope.
Yes.
Nope, nope, nope. Kiki Palmer, Daniel Kaluuya, Jordan Peele, the middle of the friggin' desert, Steven Yeun, horses.
Horses.
The history of African-Americans in American film. Like, what else could you want in this movie? Like you said, there's a lot of layers. And the more we talked about it, the more I realized, like, how good the movie was as we did the podcast. And I was like, that star was just kind of like slowly filling up in my mind, because I think I gave it like 4 when we first went, and then it slowly like went to 4.5. I think I changed it after we did the podcast, because I just realized so much about it. Won't go too much into it, because both we do have that full podcast, which you can check out, which Vince mentioned, and Vince already mentioned so many amazing things about it. But Nope was just truly an experience. Jordan Peele, he always shows out, and I'm just looking forward to more of what he does all of the time. It does still, no matter how much it still grew, it still falls number three for me. It's got to go Get Out, Us, Nope. And it's not saying
You like Nope or Us better than it.
I did, yes. I like, and I know that a lot of people, especially over time, people are like, oh yeah, Us, like it was okay, it wasn't as good. And I understand it, but I also just, when I watched Us, I like, it was I'm pretty sure it was like late. It might've been raining. Like, I don't know. It was like creepy. And so as this was happening, I was like, ooh, I felt weird, but Nope, we went and we saw, and not only was it like spooky and crazy, and there's like all of these scenes that happen, and beautiful, by the way, like cinematically gorgeous and stuff like that. But not only all of those things, but it was also just, I had like a thought in my mind and I was trying to find it as I said that sentence because it escaped me. I apologize. But just like along with all of those things, Nope was just beautiful and a masterpiece. So
I'm so glad we saw it in the theater, Josh. Like, Josh, that's what it was. The movie, actually.
I remember we went and we saw it in IMAX, and that was just next level. That's like the first movie that I'd seen in a super long time in IMAX, and that was just part of it. It was just this huge, beautiful experience. It still made you feel weird, but just being there and seeing it on the big screen was really kind of what took it to the next level for me.
Which it was filmed.
110%.
Yeah, with IMAX in mind. So, yeah, a lot of those shots were, like, very much, yeah.
Casey, we'll do your number two.
Chef's kiss, baby. We're talking about The Menu. It was so good. And
let's go. Number two, I'm down.
Yeah. I could have guessed.
So, one, I like the idea of a cool restaurant, a unique restaurant experience, right? But I love the idea that he was fed up and tired of people and the way they looked at art. And we've talked about it, right? We've done the podcast on it. But the way that, like, there were people there who'd been there so many times, they didn't even know if they ate. There were people who were, like, just trying to get clout. There were people who were, you know, rich, trying to show off, like, that they had connections and all this type of stuff. And then there's someone who doesn't belong. The cheeseburger, mouth-watering and desire. Still pissed we didn't see the bread, you know, like, since it's a restaurant they're known for. The cinematography, the story, so many things are just beautiful about this. When they do, like, the scene where they let all the men go and run away, and then, like, the guy hides in the chicken coop, and he's a winner, so they plop in, like, this little dessert for him to eat in the coop type thing for the last person caught. But it was an experience in that way, and I also really liked, I love the idea of fine dining. There's a restaurant I want to go to, in Copenhagen called Noma, which is the world's best restaurant. And it's actually set to close next year. And so I am like, as soon as tickets come online, I'm going to start like doing that crappy thing. And then I'm going to go to Copenhagen because I know that that makes me sound like a twit. I know maybe Rene Redzepi is going to burn his whole restaurant down and kill all of us. I don't know. But what I do know is like, it's going to be amazing. Like that experience. And that's what so many of them, like in theory, we're looking for, which is the Nicholas Holt character. He's like, everything will be amazing. And I love this. And I love the portrayal of food and all this bullshit that comes with it. But it's also just like the movie itself was so well done, well designed, great acting. Anya Taylor-Joy is like, I guess like if Josh is over here simping for, you know, Aubrey Plaza, I would simp for Anya Taylor-Joy because she's also in The Northman. She had a number of great films and, yeah, that's what I'd say is it was so well done. It was like chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. I think I know your last. I could be totally wrong, but I think I know your last two films.
I think you do too.
And if you have been paying attention to mine, I think you'll realize that those two films, I only have one film left. One of those films didn't make my list.
It didn't?
Unless you heard it. One of those two. If I know, I could be totally wrong and not know your list. And here's the thing. Vince and I are about to go at it probably. Okay, sorry. We can.
Sorry.
I'm ready.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. That's my number two. And it was, again, two?
No, I already did my two.
Yeah, okay.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once is my number one.
It's I figured.
Like, we already did our number two. Yes, Everything Everywhere All at Once is my number one.
It's incredible. It's so good. Did you end up watching it? You said you might last night.
No, I'm shirking out of the corner of the screen here. I did not watch it.
It is okay.
We went to watch it, just so you know, like six times and just never done it. So I deserve to be whipped and lashed about this. So I want to know why you guys love
it. You're fine. It's good though, Casey. It's artsy movie.
Temper expectations. It's good.
it's a very artsy indie movie. We've talked about it multiple times. Not like fully a full episode, but it's come up. It's artsy. It's indie, but it's also high action, exciting. So I do think you would like it. It's got some really, really good choreographed kung fu, which is really funny, and it's got some bizarre out there humor.
Like I said, I made a lot of different versions of this list, and there was not a single one that Everything Everywhere All at Once was not my number one movie of 2022. I love this movie so much, and we did talk about it a bit when we talked about Nope, right?
Yeah.
So when we talked about Nope, we went a little bit into Everything Everywhere All at Once. We didn't go too crazy because Casey hadn't seen it yet, obviously. But one of the things that we talked about, and it's one of the things that, so when I did that free trial of Showtime, Everything Everywhere All at Once is on there, and I rewatched it, and I was like, yeah. Yep. Just like confirming this is my number one movie of the year. I just loved it so much. What we talked about when we were talking about it with Nope is how much it talks about just the human experience, right? It goes so far into like this multiverse and all of these crazy action scenes and kung fu, like you mentioned, and all this stuff that happens. And it does all of that to boil down and just literally shove in your face like there is so much beauty in your life around you right now. So much could happen. You could be somewhere else doing something. There are literally a million possibilities of how your life could have ended up, and all of that happens, but you're here right now, and there's things that led you here. And even though, like I said, like even though you could be anywhere else, you're here for a reason, and there's so much to enjoy and love. And there's reasons, like without like spoiling obviously my favorite and so many people's favorite lines of the movies, there's a reason that you're here. And even if you ended up on another path, you might be hoping that you were in the one that you are right now. And there's just so much that's beautiful about this movie, and I will cry this upcoming Tuesday when they announce the Oscar nominations if Stephanie Hsu does get a supporting actress nomination, or if she doesn't. I'll either cry tears of joy if she does get a supporting actress nomination.
She plays the daughter?
Yes.
Okay.
Or tears of pain, because there's so many good acting roles, right? Ke-Huy Quan has already won the Golden Globe and I think the Critics' Choice Award for Best Supporting Actor, and he's amazing in this, right? Michelle Yeoh, she won Best Actress at the Golden Globes as well for her performance in this. I know Jamie Lee Curtis has been nominated for the Best Supporting Actress for a few things for it, right? And I love Jamie Lee Curtis's role. She is
because of the hot
really,
dog fingers?
Exactly. That's why. That's the only reason. No,
she's just so believable as a hot dog person.
Just so she's there. And don't get me wrong, I'm so down because I still like it. If she does get nominated, I'll still be happy. But Stephanie Hsu deserves it. And I am just crossing my fingers and praying that the Academy agrees with me. I don't think that there's a shot that she'll win the Oscar, but I want her to be nominated bad.
Have it recognized.
They sit right next to each other. I'm going to wake up early next Tuesday, break out my bagel to eat, and watch the Oscar nominations. And I'm looking at you, camera. Stephanie Hsu better be red for Best Supporting Actress. That's all I'm going to say. Everything Everywhere All at Once is the best movie of 2022 for me and for a lot of people.
Plus, it's got really cool kung fu in it, and it was a lot of fun.
It's super funny. Like, I love how funny it is. That's
no,
good
it is
thing,
good.
Right? Like, that's something that I always love about. I know I said I was dumb, but like, that's something good. I always love about movies that are like kind of drama or like dramedy, right? How it's going to be so real and stuff, but there's so many things that just make you like gut laugh, right? That was something that surprised me about Banshees of Inisherin, actually, was how often I found myself like chuckling, like, oh my gosh, like this is actually really funny, even when they go over like other stuff. Like, I don't know. Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's all I'll say.
I love the passion, man. Like, I can't speak to it as like I said, eloquently as you. Like, it was great. And I'm ditto everything you said. Like, you summed it up perfectly.
It's very rare that I'll watch a movie, and to be fair, I watched it in March, right? But this movie was released in January because I don't think they expected any kind of this sort of,
like, and now it's in talks for like an Oscar win, like a best picture
for
win.
Best, right, exactly. You don't release a movie in January
no.
if you think that it's going to be nominated for best picture, right? And it's just carried throughout the year and slowly
grown.
Little by little, it's just kind of picked up. So I don't know. I kind of want it to remain like a little down low so that in a few years we can talk about it being like a cult classic movie or something like that. But I feel like it might, if you win the Oscar for best picture, that's, I don't know if you could count it as a cult classic.
Man, how cool would that be if it does, though? That type of movie winning an Oscar. Gosh. So awesome.
I think Parasite winning would still be cooler, but it would be like up there.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go next. Well, I have mixed feelings because I've talked, but I think Casey's is going to be the most surprising out of the three of us, and I kind of want to hold that off to the end.
Is it?
Is it not?
I feel like I know what Casey's is.
And I'm sure you guys both know what mine is, so.
I'm pretty sure I know
COVID. What
this is. Okay, mine is easily the Batman when it came down to it, because in my heart and my soul of soul, I'm a big Batman nerd. And the Batman...
You are.
The Batman was a movie for film snobs. It was a comic book movie made for film snobs. It's 3 hours long, but guess what? I'm not going to complain about that one being 3 hours long.
We went and saw it, right? Together?
I can't remember. I saw it twice. I don't remember where I saw it the first
time. Oh, yeah. You, me, and Tyler went and saw it, right? Tyler Lambert?
Oh, yeah. We did. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In the theater, in the back. And we had to yell at that kid for talking.
Yeah, you yelled at him. You know I'm too passive to do that, but I was happy.
It was a Batman movie. I wasn't going to put up with it.
So atmospheric. Like, yeah. Obviously, the Batman did not make my list. You can see, because I'm going to publish, because it's private right now, I'm going to publish my list. It goes to 20 on Letterboxd. The Batman is number 11.
Ooh, right.
And
there.
You're going to kill right me when you look at Don't Worry, Darling, and the Batman know, is right below it, right? But it was just like what I talked about before. I rated the Batman 4.5 stars. I love the Batman, and it was so atmospheric. But when I was just thinking about my favorite ones and what stuck with me, I was like, even though I know it was so good and I did really enjoy it, it was one that just didn't stick with me. But just how you talked about you love like your passion, that you love my passion for Everything Ever All at Once, I'm excited to hear you talk about the Batman again.
I should have rewatched it before this because it's not on like the top of my mind like it was back in the day, so I don't know if I'll be able to really speak to it the way that it deserves. But the Batman is the first time I feel like Batman has been represented on film in a way, in a mature, grown-up good way. Like the Batman v Superman Snyder cut stuff I really liked and I really enjoyed, but I also feel like it was a teenage boy's kind of wet dream, you know. Made by a man, they say it's like mature and adult, but it's really just this over the top action packed comic book movie, you know. And this one is more slow paced, focused more on the mystery of what's going on, and like you said, the atmosphere and the world that he's in. It's not so much about the big punchy scenes, which I enjoy, like I said, I like the BVS stuff, but it's more about like living in his shoes and going through Gotham, this evil, corrupt city, and dealing with these corrupt people. And it's got money put into it, and it's shot on incredible sets, and it's got amazing actors. Colin Farrell transforms in his role as the Joker. He's the one that I'm going to speak passionate like you about getting a nom.
Penguin, right?
Yeah, he's the Penguin.
Sorry.
I don't care if he gets nominated for the Penguin, like as a side, whatever, what do you call that? Supporting actor. I don't care if he gets nominated, but I think that should be a nomination for best hair and makeup, because he is unrecognizable. Like if you, anybody can look at that, and if they don't know that's Colin Farrell, they won't know that's Colin Farrell, you know? So I think that if this movie does not get recognized, at least nominated for Oscars, I will be so disappointed, because we're still sitting here in a world where the Suicide Squad was an Oscar winner for like best hair and makeup. The Jared Leto original Suicide Squad that is a trash. I shouldn't talk like that. It's a movie that didn't work for me at all. But it is an Oscar award-winning movie, and this is the one that deserves it. It's made by Matt Reeves, who is probably one of the best directors out there right now. He's easily one of my favorite, right up there with Denis Villeneuve. And he's able to take these properties, these IP like Planet of the Apes that everyone has written off. Not saying people have written off Batman v Superman, Superman, but he's able to take these properties and elevate them in a very, like I said, in a way that film snobs can really look at it and be like, yes, this is a movie for adults, like I'm doing right now, you know?
Oh, indeed, yes, this is a fantastic Batman movie. My number one of 2022.
And I love it. I love it. And I absolutely love that this universe is not going to be a part of the larger DCU like they're doing with, they're doing all these changes. It's going to be its own thing. Matt Reeves can keep doing his own thing. It doesn't have to feel connected in any way. It can just be Batman living in a Batman universe. It doesn't need big over the top, you know, Superman flying in or Black Adam coming in. It can just be Batman living in a semi-realistic world with lots of atmosphere, doing his thing and learning his lessons. And in my opinion, that's when Batman is at his best. You know, these solo outings of these solo comics, these solo video games where he doesn't have to deal with the larger universe because he's just a man dressed as a bat doing his thing. It's more believable. It's more enjoyable. I like the mystery stuff. The Batman was amazing. I'll probably go watch it again after this.
It's just like, let's wrap this up.
let's see. 9 o'clock. I got 3 hours.
And your thoughts on, I just wanted to know really quick, your thoughts on how you felt like Robert Pattinson fit into that role.
Oh, loved him. Loved him. I think Robert Pattinson is an underrated actor right now. Everyone who doesn't know him, I mean, everyone knows him as the Twilight guy. He gets a bad rap, but the guy can act, and he's proving it, and I like that he's choosing his roles carefully. I brought The Lighthouse before. He's freaking great in The Lighthouse. I'd like to see him in more stuff, and I think he works great as a Bruce Wayne. It's an interesting take on this, like, mopey, emo Bruce Wayne, but he's young. Yeah. He's learning, you know, who of us haven't gone through our mopey teenage emo phase, you know? Like, I think he's great.
I chimed in.
Yeah, I think he's great. I think all of the cast was great, and I look forward to see who they bring in next. Like, there's rumors about Mr. Freeze maybe being in the next one. The guy who they got to play the Joker, he came up earlier on the podcast with the...
Barry Keane.
Not my favorite iteration of it. I don't need to go into all these details, but... Yeah. In point, like, the Batman's a dang good movie, and it's probably my favorite of the year, and the next one will probably be the favorite of that year, just because the nerd in me wants that.
Perfect.
I want that.
All right. Here it is, the last movie of our top tens. Oh, my gosh, I'm so
sad. I don't
sad.
Even know, unless it's the one that I'm thinking of. I don't know what it's going to be. For
what's your guess on what's my top movie of the year?
I have my guess. What's your guess?
Avatar 2.
I didn't even think about that. He hasn't mentioned it. You haven't said, has he said nope yet?
Nuh-uh.
He hasn't said nope.
That's my favorite movie of the year.
Nope is
I just want to take a moment. I want Casey to talk about nope because I'm super excited. Avatar The Way of Water made none of our lists, including Casey's.
Oh, it's boom. Great for the technical. If we made a favorite technical
it'd
movie,
be up there.
Then it'd be up there.
But it's not. All right.
My favorite wet movie of the year is Avatar Way of Water.
Okay. Wow. Thank you.
All right. But let's talk about Nope really quick. So I actually loved this movie. This is my favorite movie I saw in the theater all year in 2022. It was one I thought about. Like, I told you guys how much time I spent watching YouTube videos about Severance. I did equally the same watching YouTube videos about Nope, which was really cool. It was exciting. Same, love Kiki Palmer. I really love, I just spaced on his name, the lead cowboy guy.
Daniel Kaluuya.
Daniel Kaluuya, thank you. I really like him.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just love that one scene where they, like, slap fives together, like, super
passionate. Let's go, baby! Let's go!
Yes, that's... Like, I thought the whole thing was so good, and I didn't feel like there was a lull in it for me, even though there was, like, some, you know, right, like, every movie has to have those developmental or slower parts where you kind of see what's going on. Nothing like that happened where I was like, gosh, this is a waste of time. I wish I could skip this. But I really liked, like, them bringing in the director, the guy from Fries, like, all these type of things, these other parts to it. They have Steven Yeun as, like, the guy who owns, like, the thing, and there's, like, a side plot, but there's also a main plot to it, and it's just beautiful how it all goes, and the monster was probably the most beautiful monster I've ever seen on screen. the way it was portrayed, like that was a shot, right? That was the moment. And it really, like, I don't know that I will see a sci-fi creature like that again that makes me like as inspired as that one did. And I know that's kind of cheesy, and the way that they catch the moment, right? Like where she's using like the pump action photo thing to take the photo booth, to take the photo. Like so many parts of this is just huge. And then there's like the story about the family, how it works, the history of black cinema, and the history of just cinema in general that they speak about is really cool. I could go on and on and on and on, but it's just a lot of things. And so, yeah, Nope was my number one film of the year. Yeah. And Josh, just so you know, I would go with Get Out, Nope, and then Us.
Right there with you, Casey.
That's fair. All right.
I think that Us, and just to talk about this really quickly, is a good film, but it's not one that I like think about watching again, like, to be honest with you. And that's fine, right? But that's how Vince feels about Shrek, so you know, whatever.
This is gonna be
it never dies. It never dies.
Oh man. Guys, I'm so happy. I'm so sad.
It's over already.
It's over. I can't wait to record our favorite 10 movies of 2023 already. I'm already thinking about it, thinking about what might be on my list, what'll surprise us. But I'm just happy that we finally got to do this, that we got to do our top 10 movies of 2022. It's my favorite one. And I was surprised by a lot of your guys' lists. Also not surprised by some things because I knew, but there was so much that was happening. And I'm just, thank you for having us do this podcast because I love it so much. Fun. This was definitely a fun one.
You guys are my favorite. Thank you.
And thank you to anyone. Obviously, like, this one probably pushed a little bit of the limit of where we usually keep our podcasts at. We keep it a little shorter just because, you know, top 10, we talked about, like, even though there was some overlap, we talked about basically 30 movies, right, along with some other stuff. So thank you if you listen to all of this. We really, really appreciate it. Like, this is just something that we do for fun, and I'm pretty sure that we would keep on doing it even if zero people watched it or listened to it.
That's basically what we've been doing for the last 3 years. So.
But we're glad if you are one of the people who listen to this. We really, really appreciate it, and thank you for letting us just, you know, put this on the internet, and for some reason you came across it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into the Pod Ryan Plays podcast. This is our top 10 films of 2022. As always, find us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Have a great day.